The following is a paid program, and the views expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPTF or Curtis Media Group. Information provided is of a general nature. Listeners seeking specific advice should contact a licensed professional in the appropriate area. Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio, Heart Health Radio, oh, 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 hearthealthradio.com, Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
And this is Heart Health Radio.
On the Heart Health Radio Network.
On the Heart Health Radio. Thank you for filling in.
Well, you know, you had one of your senior moments.
I did.
Stepped in.
Do you
even
know
though,
that I'm...
Even though you're younger.
I'm having them more and more.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about COVID this as a change of pace this week. COVID
Listen,
numbers.
This is the story of the century, okay?
I know it is.
I mean, think about it. The politics behind... What China did
oh
and
gosh.
Didn't do,
yes.
The millions of people who died, the economic disaster that has happened. And you know what I want to do?
Well, what?
Who's that guy on Fox News? Mark Siegel.
Okay.
He had an excellent article today.
Yeah.
About the positive things that have come out of COVID. And you say, what?
Yes.
What could be positive? Well, the... impetus for scientific exploration to try to squash this thing
yes.
has really been amazing. Okay, if somebody had said 15 years ago in a certain type of epidemic, you know, pandemic like
sure.
we have, that within 6 months we'd
right.
have medications to actually treat the virus, that yeah. we would have off-the-shelf antibodies called monoclonals.
Yeah.
Which are now keeping people out of the hospital as an outpatient, saving lives. If anyone would think that in 9 months
right.
we'd have not one, not two, not three,
yeah.
but four vaccines that all worked to reduce hospitalization and death, I think they would have said, Weefy,
yeah.
you're crazy.
They would have said that.
Because back then we couldn't have done it.
Right.
And so what this tells us is a good thing, is that we have tremendous numbers of scientists
mm-hmm.
who are wonderful and brilliant and know what to do. And yet, of course, everything about this is negative. You
right.
know, the politicians stink. You know, one politician said, I'm not going to trust that politician's vaccine. And
yeah.
then, you know, we've got the internet. We've got Facebook. We've got people planning crazy stories about how you turn magnetic. Remember that?
Yes.
You turn magnetic with the vaccine. And then we have true misinformation. And then we have people, you know, targeted as being misinformers.
Right.
For saying things that actually could be true, could be right. Let me just give you the big example now that has just come out.
Yeah.
You remember when President Trump said, and he was on his podium with, you know, the daily briefings that we had. Remember that every day at 4 o'clock?
I do.
And he said bleach works. I mean, topical disinfectants work.
Yeah.
He turned to his people and said, can we use these in a human? And they all shook their head no. All right. What is alcohol?
It's a disinfectant.
Right. And what it's the main ingredient for what? Hand sanitizer. You look on the hand
sanitizer. It's funny. My first thought yeah. was beer.
Okay. Well,
look, okay.
You're a yeah. drinker. I'm a thinker.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, so and that's why everybody's drinking hand sanitizer. You know, I prefer the rosé.
Okay? Yes, yes, of course you do. Yes.
But anyway, get back to you know, something that makes sense here. Hand sanitizer, 70% alcohol.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what is Listerine? What is the active ingredient of Listerine mouthwash?
I'm pretty sure it's alcohol.
Yeah, 70%.
Yeah.
So I remember at Johns Hopkins, I'd work in an ER, and these guys would come in with really nice breath.
Yes.
And they'd be drunk off their butts. And they were drinking Listerine. When President Reagan got shot, they kicked all the guys out of the ER. And so all the drunks come stomping down the street, interviewed by CBS, NBC. Said, were you in the ER? Yeah. you know, I just saw the president come in and had a Listerine bottle in his hand. But anyway, the bottom line is, this is tangentialism today. Bottom line is, what now has been shown to reduce the risk of contracting COVID by 40%?
Oh, yes.
Listerine.
Yes, but not drinking it.
No.
Gargling.
You know what? Okay, but did President Trump really say drink bleach?
No, he didn't.
No.
No.
He asked his people if hydrochloric acid,
right,
you know, and could be used as some sort of disinfectant in a human. Right. The answer is no.
And everybody was polite enough not to say, Mr. President, that's really dumb.
What they should,
that's
not what they did is they shook their head and he went, oh, okay.
Okay.
But anyway, mouthwash.
Yeah.
Now, I have to interact with patients every day, 30 of them every day. So right next to the sink where I wash my hands is a big old bottle of green Listerine.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that. Between patients, I wash my hands and I mouthwash.
No kidding.
Now, what else do I do? Okay.
I
rinse my nose out with saline.
Yes.
Why? I couldn't do that. I am so allergic to everything.
Really?
That I have to do the nasal rinsing. I have to use two topical nose sprays. One is Astilin, which is a topical antihistamine. So, you know, Zizol and Zyrtec.
Okay.
You take a pill. Well, these are actually antihistamines that go on the nose. That's twice a day. Flonase is once a day. Guess what? 40% reduction in the incidence of contracting COVID-19 if you regularly use Flonase.
Okay.
Now, this is not to say, and I'm not prescribing Flonase for everybody out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't think I get in trouble for saying use mouthwash, right? But the bottom line is all the stuff that was misinformation might not be so misinformation nowadays.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
So all the people got banned for what? For saying that they thought the Wuhan Virology Institute was the source of the virus.
Uh-huh.
You would be automatically banned from Twitter, automatically banned from Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Your YouTube channel would be taken down.
Right. And, you know, somebody would come out of the woodwork with a Biden for President sticker and punch you in the face. But it turns out the most likely culprit is the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And now we're allowed to say it. Why? Because Fauci said we got to look into it. But, and you know how it became misinformation? Because the guy who founded the fund to give to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the professor over here at UNC Barrick, who's one of the world's experts at COVID or coronaviruses, he signed it and they sent this letter to Lancet saying there's no way it was the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and that letter and every single person who signed that letter, prominent scientists, were involved with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And then it became misinformation. And if you said it, you know what else? The R word.
What?
You're a racist.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know? Mm. And so, bottom line, what is good that's come out of it is the scientists have stepped up and they've hit several home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon we'll have a grand slam because there are three pills coming out now that look really good. Merck has one. I can't remember the other names of the companies that have them. And these are antivirals. We've had antibiotics for 100 years almost.
Right.
And we've had HIV antiviral. And that's how they picked up on this. We didn't know a lot about viruses. And so we're studying all these things, and now we're coming up with solutions. So how can I say this? There's a silver lining in this thundercloud that's been COVID-19. And the silver lining is the next time, or maybe we can prevent the next time by knowing as soon as something like this comes out, the scientists, they did the DNA, RNA sequencing in a day, okay? And then we can design our drugs around that, immediately manufacture them. Billions of doses were made, you know, almost instantaneously.
Right.
So the good news is, we're good. We're good people.
Mm-hmm.
We are a kind and caring nation. And let's just let the noise dissipate and say, yes, this was horrible. We lost 700,000 people in this country alone. Millions. But we stepped up to the plate, mm-hmm. and we took the bull by the horn. This is cliche night.
It is, yeah.
And we did it.
Usually we avoid cliches like the plague around here.
Yeah, that's right. Like the plague.
Like the plague.
Oh, here you go. But you one-upped me.
Knock wood. We'll get through the rest of the night without too much trouble.
I like cliches. Touche on the cliche.
There is something that you reminded me of, and it happened today.
What was that?
And I'm concerned about it.
Okay.
YouTube will now take down your video and demonetize you, make sure that you can't make money.
Right.
If you have an anti-vax message, and they also will take you down if you have a message that strays too far from the norm related to climate change.
Yeah. We have physicians have been warned by the powers that be to watch our step.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we, for example, would prescribe ivermectin for COVID, that we could possibly lose our licenses. Now, let me say this about that. I had a friend who did that all the time. Let me say this about that. Boy, we're cliched and old school today. Anyway, we are allowed by law as a physician to prescribe any drug that's approved by the FDA for any purpose.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, you have a drug approved for diabetes.
Yeah.
It's called Jardiance.
Yeah.
There was evidence that it actually worked for heart failure, even if those patients did not have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I could have prescribed it, and I did prescribe it based on the evidence that came through before the FDA approved it for congestive heart failure. What's the difference between my prescribing ivermectin for COVID in appropriate dosing that's for a human being?
Right.
I could lose my license for that. Why? I think it's a political thing. We use medicines all the time that are not proven in efficacy.
Well,
there is still something about what we do that's an art, that we use our education from Johnny Hopkins, mm-hmm. who taught me how to think and mm-hmm. how to put two and two together and use the safe application of appropriate doses for something that I think might work.
Mm-hmm.
And there is evidence that ivermectin works. There's evidence that it doesn't work. The problem is that one political party portrays the evidence as not working, and another political party portrays it as working.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's become part of this crazy internet craze, you know, where you want ivermectin versus, say, the vaccine.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the vaccines are good. You should get them. And don't listen to the anti-vax people.
Right.
But there's a compelling issue. Should we give the vaccine to everybody who's had COVID? And the answer is there's a lot of evidence that if you've had COVID, you have a better immune response than if you had the vaccine. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. The FDA and the DEA and the FFA are all, coming around to COVID vaccines for those who've had COVID.
Future farmers of America?
I'm joking. I was an FFA president,
I'm sure you
were. I like all those,
acronyms. Yeah.
NSA, NASA, whatever. But anyway, I'm going to tread very carefully here.
Okay? Good for you.
I think that if I wanted to, and I haven't prescribed ivermectin for COVID, I think I should be allowed to. Now, luckily, when I prescribed hydroxychloroquine for COVID, it was an emergency approval by the FDA at the time. So I wouldn't get in trouble for that. But I don't think I should get in trouble for prescribing ivermectin. Now, they say it's horse paste. Okay. If you have a horsey who's got, parasites, there is a horse dose. Now, if there's somebody who's stupid enough to go out in the barn and grab, some horse paste and swallow it, that's their problem.
Yeah.
We aren't saying that. Now, I'm not including me in the pro-ivermectin people.
Right.
But as I've said before, the guy who invented ivermectin for human beings won the Nobel Prize. And the reason why he won the Nobel Prize is that in appropriate doses with appropriate monitoring, it saved hundreds of thousands of kids' eyesight.
Okay.
So all I want to say is the controversies are there. Don't believe anything that you hear from somebody who doesn't know what the H they're talking about.
Right.
Don't just turn off Facebook news. Turn off the Twitter sphere.
Yeah.
Because it's on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay, the anti-vaxxer vaxxers are wrong, but maybe, just maybe, if you've had COVID, you might not benefit from the vaccine. I don't know, because I don't have enough information. But it's on both sides that we have disinformation, and that's, I think, leading to the problems we're having.
We're also going to talk about, on tonight's or today's show.
Is this the Tonight Show?
Supplements. Two supplements have been suggested on the article I have in my hot little hands, that I should take these two supplements instead of statins.
Yeah, and this is, to me, a really important thing for people to hear.
All right, that's coming up.
Natural's not better, always.
That's coming up on Heart Health Radio. You're right, on the Heart Health Radio Network. This is Heart Health Radio.
Did they hear me say that?
On the Heart Health Radio Network. No, they didn't.
No, okay.
They didn't.
It wasn't anything bad. I just didn't realize we were coming on, and I was bloviating about things that I should have bloviated on the radio about.
We're going to talk about New Zealand and their strategy in just a little bit. We're also going to talk about doctors getting angry at their patients, and you think they shouldn't.
Not only should they shouldn't, but I think it's malpractice, to tell you the truth. Okay? And I'm going to explain why.
Okay. Let's talk about this article that we found where they suggested two different pills.
Right.
Or two different supplements.
Okay.
Instead of statins. Now, yeah. I take a statin.
Yeah, good for you.
Because of cholesterol.
I take a statin, too.
Okay.
And statins also reduce the risk of Crohn's disease.
Okay.
They reduce the risk of stroke.
Yes.
They reduce the risk of certain cancers. It's not been proven, but it's been shown to be an association.
Yeah.
Wonderful medications. Now, is the People's Pharmacy still on the air?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. I used to get real angry. I mean, I can get angry at the People's Pharmacy, not at my patients. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But I'd be driving along and listening to stuff about how, you know, this is natural and it's so much better than the chemical.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just not true. Some things that are natural are really good for you. Air,
yeah.
Water.
Yeah.
There's some things that are natural that are horrible for you. Snake venom. I mean, it's a natural compound.
Yeah, it's a natural compound.
Okay,
sure,
so,
sure, yeah.
Hey, you know, get bit by the snake. It's natural.
It is natural.
Yeah.
It's poison.
So I want to tell people that if you hear that something's better than a statin or other chemical, and they are chemicals, I'm going to say it, medicine. Then think twice. So this Jessica, and is it Knibbs or Nibs? It's K-N-I-B-B-S. And she is talking about using something called red yeast rice, and niacin. Now, niacin is an essential B vitamin.
Okay.
We all need niacin. But the doses that we're talking about to have any effect whatsoever on your blood fats called triglycerides or your cholesterol is 20 times, 30 times the recommended daily dose. So we used to give niacin. We used to use niacin for people who had a certain type of cholesterol problem, okay? And we gave it in high doses. Oh, my God, 2 grams, 2,000 milligrams. And we would have them take aspirin beforehand. And we would, you know, and niacin is really hard to take. It causes flushing, nausea. I mean, these people would come in and say, I mean, Dr. Weifeld, I am red as a beet.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we learned about niacin?
Mm.
It didn't work.
Oh.
So they finally did the studies and compared niacin plus a cholesterol tablet versus a cholesterol tablet by itself. And people died more.
Really?
They took niacin. Yeah. There was a great company that put out a niacin-based anti-cholesterol agent and showed good stuff in lowering cholesterol. Well, guess what? And a higher mortality rate than just a statin alone. So natural may not, and often, is not better.
Right.
Niacin can kill you in high doses, just like snake venom can kill you in high doses, and they're both natural products.
Right.
So don't ditch your statin and go to the drugstore and buy a bunch of niacin. You might get sick. And you know how they talk about, oh, statins kill your liver. Niacin has a greater chance of liver injury than a statin does. They don't say this in the article. Now, what is red yeast rice? You know what red yeast rice is?
No.
It's a statin. Now, why do I say that? Because the chemical compound that's active in red yeast rice is almost identical to the HMG-CoA reductase form or chemical form of a statin. Now, each one of these statins has a little bit of something different. Yeah, did you take chemistry in high school?
Not much.
You know, the OH on the end and the sure. C on the end. They modify it a little bit, and some are more potent, some are less potent. But red yeast rice is essentially a weak statin. Now, there's two types of red yeast rice.
Okay? All right.
And it's made out of yeast that grows on red rice. And there's the Chinese version.
All right.
Ancient Chinese secret. You ever hear that term?
Yes.
My mother used to say it all the time. And it is potent stuff. Okay? But the red yeast rice you buy from the United States of America, you might as well go to the toilet, and open just, the lid,
yeah.
pour it down. Now, the problem is you're going to clog your toilet of all those pills, and you're going to wind up calling Roto-Rooter.
Just for everybody listening. You're saying red
yeast,
Y-E-A-S-T,
rice.
Rice.
Red
okay.
yeast rice. Now, do I get it? Yes, I do. You know why?
Why?
Because I got people who insist they can't take statins, they can't take Zetia, they can't take, Repatha, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they want to go natural. So I put them on red yeast rice and I monitor them because you've got to monitor your liver since it is a statin-like compound.
Sure.
And, you know, some of them lower their cholesterol, but you know what I tell them?
Yeah.
That you're missing out. The statin drug doesn't just lower your cholesterol. You know what it does? That's magic. It reduces inflammation. It's one of our best anti-inflammatory drugs.
Right.
So let me tell you how you know that it helps prevent heart attack. So if you've had a heart attack,
yes.
you're at high risk for another one, right?
Sure.
So
yeah.
what they've done in the initial studies is they gave heart attack patients a sugar pill. I like to call that, instead of a placebo, sugar
yeah.
pill.
Yeah.
And they gave him a statin, and they followed him. At 6 months, there were much markedly lower risk of heart attack in the people who got statins. At 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, you know cholesterol buildup is a huge, long problem. They have now documented that kids who died in the Korean War already had cholesterol buildup brewing.
Right.
And so it builds up over 10, 15 years.
Right.
So what did it do? It reduced the inflammation in the body because a heart attack is not caused by the slow, gradual progression of cholesterol. It's caused by a plaque that is maybe 25, 30% blocked that gets inflamed and ruptures. So statins are great for anti-inflammatory effects.
And they help you live longer because
live longer,
you
live
don't
better,
have that heart attack.
And you spot medical misinformation when you take a statin.
That's exactly right. Right. Also, when you continue listening to this show, which we hope you do,
yeah.
and we'll give you a telephone number in a little bit, you can call and ask a question.
And listen, if you're anti-statin, call. We'll talk.
Now back to Heart Health. Have a question for Dr. Weefald? Call 919-860-9783.
This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. Dave Alexander along with Dr. Franklin Weefald. The telephone number is 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783. What do you want to talk about? Natural immunity?
Yeah.
Or dry scooping?
Dry scooping. just because it's in the news now.
Oh, man.
So I have a bunch of wonderful people in my office. I have young women, young men.
Yes.
Who are healthcare heroes.
Uh-huh.
Even if your job is to sit behind a desk and be nice and be a receptionist and help calm people down, you're a healthcare hero.
Yeah.
Even if your job is to do the billing, they're a healthcare hero to me.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
But anyway, they're young and they've all got boyfriends or husbands who want to be buff, B-U-F-F.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, there was none of this. You were running around, with the headphones on and pumping iron all day to look buff. But they all do it. And they all want an edge. And so for a while there, testosterone was real big. I don't see a lot of that anymore.
Okay.
I think people have realized that's not the appropriate use, but maybe not. Well, then there was energy drinks, okay? And that's actually not so bad. I'm going to tell you right now, I take 5-hour energy in the morning instead of coffee. The same amount of caffeine, 200 milligrams, is in a large coffee.
Right.
And I take another one about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I have basically two large cups of coffee a day. If you take 20 of them, that's when you hear. In fact, I tell people I have a 5-hour energy. That's bad for you. How can you do that? It's not bad for you. If you... Do you know anybody who drinks 20 cups of coffee a day?
I'm close.
Really?
Yeah.
No wonder.
I get a little jittery.
I wonder what was wrong with you.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Juan Valdez is your best friend, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So, dry scooping. What is this stuff? Well, they apparently make a boost of workout boost that has taurine and amino acids and all these things that are supposedly going to build your muscles.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to use like a little scoop of it and put it in water and drink it down. Well, they're taking these scoops and they're putting the dry powder in their mouth without anything else. And the amount that they're giving, it's 200 milligrams of caffeine and 5-hour energy. This is 2,000 milligrams of caffeine at one time.
Yes.
Now, what they say, man, it gives me the energy to work out. Yeah, I think that's a big mistake. And if you really want to get buff and if you really want to pump iron, you don't need this. What you need, and I don't think there's anything wrong with protein supplements. So you can get a thing of whey protein.
Sure.
And make yourself a little whey protein drink. That'll help because it'll help build your proteins back. When you exercise, you destroy muscle.
Okay.
Okay, that's what you're doing.
All right.
And then you build it back up. And there's a stimulus to replace more of the destroyed muscle when you've exercised it a lot. So, yeah, whey protein, great. You're going to give those proteins a chance to get put into your muscle again.
Sure.
But you don't need tons of caffeine. And that one of the things that I worry about is that at those levels, 20 times the amount that's in a 5-hour energy, you could get an arrhythmia. And what is that? That's when your electricity goes haywire in your heart.
Right.
Because you're already sweating. And what do you do when you sweat? You lose potassium. You lose magnesium. And so your heart is already primed to get an arrhythmia, extra heartbeats, a premature contraction, atrial fibrillation, whatever.
Sure.
So what I'm worried about, and I can't say this is going to happen because it's not been studied, but I'm worried about we're going to see people dropping dead on using the equipment, Army equipment.
Right.
Pray to God it doesn't happen. But please, if you're out there and you're young, or if you're old and you want to get buff, you want to have pecs and you want to have triceps and you want to have, you know, all those glutes. Oh, glutes are real big now. Gluteus maximus.
Oh, yeah. The butt muscle?
Yeah, the butt muscle. Don't do the dry scooping. It's not worth it. It doesn't help you. It can potentially really hurt you. If you want to supplement, whey protein, I think, is the best thing. Now, what is whey? It's milk, okay? It's curd.
Yeah.
You know, old, eating is curds and whey. Who was that?
Miss Muffet on her Tuffet.
Tuffet, yeah. And anyway, the Tuffet is the gluteus maximus, okay?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, hydrate.
Yeah.
Use Gatorade. It's not bad to replenish your potassium and your magnesium and all that stuff. I would even say don't sweat. I would get a cold bottle, put it on your neck, cool your body down so it's not overheating. You'll get a better workout if you're not overheated. But don't do the dry scooping. I'm really worried about it.
Just the idea that somebody would say, you know, I got this stuff that I'm supposed to make with water.
Yeah.
But I think I'd do better.
Well, I think it's
I just eat it.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the young people are into this exercise thing as like almost like a cult.
Right.
Okay. It's the cult of first thing I do is workout in the morning. Then I go to work. Take a lunch break workout. And then I do another workout in the evening. And, you know, I think they're addicted to the endorphins, first of all, which are the natural opioids induced in our brain when we exercise. But I think it's become almost like a fad, a fashion thing.
Sure.
You know, you can't see me, but I'm sitting here in my scrubs, which, because I came from my work.
Right.
And you know how they're baggy and everything. I like baggy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, you buy the scrubs today from Figs, F-I-G-S, and they're tight. They're to show off your pecs that you've worked out with, you know? And I don't get it. But I think body worship is a big thing. And if you want to body worship, have at it. But please don't do anything stupid. You don't need that much caffeine. And it's bad for you.
The number one word we use on this show,
what's that? Inflammation.
Is inflammation.
Yeah, and I hope that people understand why I do this. I pound on it.
Yeah.
Inflammation is good in one sense, in a big sense, okay? You get a cut, you know,
sure.
or you get a bug bite
yeah.
or something like that, it turns red and gets inflamed. What does that mean? It means your immune cells are coming in there to fight off the bacteria and the viruses and what else is in there. And they send off these signals, interleukins, okay, these are all different things, complement proteins, to recruit their buddies. So the T cells say, hey, B cells, you know, make some antibodies for me. It's a remote signaling process.
All right.
And it's good because it helps you heal. Here's the problem. As we get older, or if we have autoimmune diseases where our immune system is too strong, the inflammation stays high. And what does that do? It activates the immune cells that are sitting in pockets of parts of your body being ready to go.
Yeah.
Now in your gut, you have immune cells in your gut. When you get Crohn's disease, you get inflammation, and it runs all over your body. So like I said earlier, the heart attack is caused by inflammation. Cholesterol is necessary.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's not the 95% blockage that we put a stent in that causes the heart attack. Why do you think 35-year-old people who run a marathon drop dead of a heart attack? Is it because they had a 95% blockage? No. It's because they had a 40% blockage. The cover over the plaque filled with goo was small. They got inflamed, and the inflammation got into the immune cells that are trying to clear up the blockage in your heart artery, and it popped it. Just like if you squashed a chocolate cherry, all the goo comes out, causes a heart attack by clotting off the artery. And why do some of these runners have high levels of inflammation? Because they're injured all the time.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, the red, hot joint that you've twisted, why is that? It's inflamed. Because repairing injury is also one of the functions that the immune system does. It helps in that repair. It's getting rid of dead stuff and letting the new stuff grow. So inflammation is really, really bad. And as we get older, it gets worse. And if we have autoimmune diseases, if we have Crohn's disease, if we have lupus, the levels of inflammation are sky high. So let me give you an example about me. Can I talk about me?
Sure.
Yeah. So I found out I had a little bit of a cholesterol blockage, and I thought I was, you know, Superman. I'm like stunned. It's in my heart. I got one in my neck. Found accidentally.
Yeah.
Not even accidentally on purpose. I found a big lump in my arm that turned out to be from when I didn't measure my crutches and had the crutch up in my axilla, and I ruined a nerve. And it grew into a lump. But anyway, they did a CT scan. They found the coronary calcium. We talked about this before.
Yes.
Coronary calcium score was pretty high for my age, and it was in the Widowmaker spot, you know, proximal LAD, the front artery. So I got a stress test. I passed it, which means it wasn't enough to constrict the flow of blood. So what did I measure? I measured my LDL cholesterol.
Yeah.
178.
Right.
Where if you have coronary disease, it needs to be less than 70. Took a bunch of Crestor, took some Zetia, I got it down to 135.
Not enough.
That means that I have familial hypercholesterolemia, and I'll explain why sometime. It's kind of complicated. I went on Repatha, which is this shot. It's a monoclonal antibody that works in a new pathway to suck up the cholesterol out of your bloodstream and get it out of your system. Got it down to 11.
Yeah.
11. Now, that's half the story. You know what the other half of the story was? Inflammation can be measured by your doctor by checking what's called the C-reactive protein. And it's not crap. It's spelled CRP. C-reactive protein.
CRP.
And crap. It's not crap. It's CRP.
Okay.
And what it does, it's one of those inflammatory proteins. So when your body's inflamed, if you're fighting an infection, it's going to go way up because it helps recruit other things. But if you're not fighting an infection, if you're just sitting on your butt talking on the radio, and your CRP is high,
you're looking at me.
You're looking at a high level of inflammation. Now, who has this? Diabetics, hypertensive, people with coronary disease, people with chronic Crohn's disease. You know, that's a gut thing. You're inflamed and you have diarrhea and it's painful and it's a horrible illness, but we can help now with other medications. So it was 15. Where less than 5 was supposed to be normal. I was a walking, talking heart attack in the making.
Really?
So what did I do about that?
How long ago was this?
2 years ago.
Okay.
3 years ago. So what did I do besides taking the statin? Which the statin dropped it alone from 15 to about 8. And that's a big, big drop. Half. Just taking the statin alone. So I went on turmeric. I read all this stuff about it.
Yeah.
It's a spice. It's incredible stuff.
Okay.
Turmeric. I took two capsules of that a day. I took ginger, which is a capsule of ginger. It's another spice. And I took something called milk thistle. And then I took a baby aspirin every day. And then I started exercising a little bit more. Now, the one thing I didn't do, okay?
Right.
Is quit smoking. I'm down to five a day, okay?
All
five
right.
a day.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it,
We're
folks.
We're holding it against you.
You know, I'm telling you, I'm bad.
Yeah,
that is
that's
bad.
Right.
I didn't quit smoking completely. And there's one big thing I didn't do.
What didn't you
do? Did the yes diet, not the no diet.
Yeah, you ate regular
bread.
Food.
I love bread. Oh, pasta is like, you know, I could go to sleep on a pillow of pasta every night and eat my way to the best dream of my life. And then sugar. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a sugarholic.
Yeah.
So I do the things that I know are bad for me. This is America. I still have a choice.
Yes, you do.
All right, but what's my CRP now?
I don't know.
Less than 0.1.
0.1.
Almost undetectable. Okay.
Is that what I need to shoot for?
Well, you want to shoot as low as possible. Less than 5? Yeah. I mean, that puts your risk lower. Okay, so the LDL should be less than 70, and I tell you, even less than that is good. You can't have too low of a cholesterol. If you get a family doc or an internal medicine doc who tells you it can be too low, that means they trained in the 70s and the 80s.
Okay.
We're wrong. It can be as low as 4.
Okay.
And it's good. But anyway, so I went back and had a CT scan. My calcium score dropped from 350 to 40. Okay?
And this is good.
Yeah, because that means the calcium and the cholesterol. See, cholesterol becomes calcified when your immune cells try to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Okay? It's calcified. And then the one in my neck went from 25 to 40% down to 10%.
Yes.
So plaque stabilization and plaque regression depend upon two. Oh, I forgot one thing.
What's that?
I take Vascepa, which is eicosapentaic acid. There's a generic out now for it. There's a big controversy over it. But EPA. And it is the purified, like 10 times pure fish oil. Contains one compound, which they know now, EPA, is the thing that works in fish oil. So if you buy the stuff off the shelf, you're taking 1% of what I'm taking, which is Vascepa. I take two big honking capsules twice a day.
Yes.
And triglycerides are almost zero. Well, no, not zero. My LDL is almost zero. My C-reactive protein is almost unmeasurable.
Yeah.
And my blockages are going the way of the dodo bird.
Yes.
So I'm not saying it's going to happen for everybody, but don't forget the I word.
Inflammation.
Now, why do you think marathon runners don't live as long as the rest of us?
They should live forever.
No, they don't. They live 5 years on average less than we do. And I'm not going to talk about this. Every marathon takes 36 minutes off your life.
We've talked about that. No.
But why? They're injured all the time. It's like a badge of courage. Yeah, I tore my medial meniscus and I still ran a marathon. All right, great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine the pain and suffering these people are going through? And I would love to, on the finish line of the New York Marathon,
yes,
is draw some blood and see what their CRPs are. And, you know, let me tell you. I had one of the world's biggest marathon runners, wrote for Runner's World. I can't mention his name because he didn't give me permission. But he came to me. He'd run probably 6 marathons a year, maybe 8. And he said, you know, I just want to get checked out and told I'm fine.
Yeah.
Well, he had triple vessel coronary disease, 95% in all of his arteries. And I finally sat down and said, just tell me the truth, okay? How do you feel running a marathon? I feel exhilarated, but I get this feeling like my chest is squeezing. He's very lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, he got triple vessel bypass, and he went on to run marathons again. But he was a naturally, you know, instead of a chemically person. Got him on a statin, got him on his aspirin, and he's never had a problem again. That's 20 years later. So exercise is good, but too much causes inflammation because you're constantly destroying your body. And it's trying to build itself back up, and you're getting high levels of C-reactive protein. Don't exercise if you're injured. That's just stupid.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm sorry.
Well,
I always said the doctor should not use this kind of language.
I understand.
I don't get mad at people who overexercise. I think you should do it moderately to the point where you're not getting yourself injured. Inflammation.
Well,
so what can we do about inflammation that I agree with in terms of things that we can do day by day? One is exercise.
Okay.
It helps.